In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Monday, February 13th, 2017 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Iraqi Christians are still battling the decision about whether to make a new life outside of Iraq or return home. The World View spoke to William Stark of International Christian Concern about the concerns of internally displaced persons, or IDPs. He said the life they knew before ISIS is no more.
A number of IDPs I've talked to have actually started to return to some of these areas like Karakosh and Bartella, and what they're finding is all of the physical representations of their life are gone. They've been burned. Their churches have been destroyed. It's going to be a really, really difficult thing for them to recover from this.
Stark said one of the biggest prayer requests for Iraqi Christians is their fear about returning to predominantly Muslim areas.
A really unfortunate side effect that I'm seeing with a lot of Christians in northern Iraq is they've lost trust in almost every single Muslim that they know. These Christians from Mosul is a great example. The reason they won't move back to a place like Mosul is because they will be the minority again. So they only want to move to areas where the Christians will be in the majority and they can feel a sense of security.
Making good on President Trump's promise, Immigration and Customs Enforcement made more than 200 arrests of criminal illegal aliens in Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, Kentucky, Kansas, and Missouri by day's end Friday, reports CNN. The ICE enforcement operation targeted, quote, criminal aliens, illegal reentrants, and immigration fugitives, unquote. The majority of those arrested had criminal convictions like child sex crimes, weapons, or assault charges. The U.S. Senate confirmed pro-life Congressman Tom Price in a vote of 52-47 early Friday morning as the next Secretary of Health and Human Services, reports Life News. The orthopedic surgeon with a 100% pro-life voting record, according to the National Right to Life Committee, was confirmed despite objections from Planned Parenthood and yet another Democratic filibuster. Price is expected to lead the charge to roll out a replacement for Obamacare, which funds abortions. After a three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco, California, shot down President Trump's executive order 90-day ban of immigrants from seven Muslim-majority nations, he set aboard Air Force One on Friday. He is now considering crafting a, quote, brand new order, unquote, reports the Wall Street Journal. Three cheers for Dr. Eric Walsh. Justice was served, and Georgia gave him $225,000 in a settlement after this Christian public health expert and lay preacher was fired by Georgia's Department of Public Health in 2014 over his faith, reports the Christian Post. Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council described Dr. Walsh's initial firing as something he, quote, would have expected to see in a totalitarian Soviet-era communist country, not America, unquote. Acts 5:29 says, we must obey God rather than man. A handful of Chicago-based restaurants are baking cookies and selling them through February 24th, with the proceeds benefiting the abortion group Planned Parenthood, reports the Chicago Eater, while the Planned Parenthood of Illinois Bake Sale website inaccurately claims that the Killing Machine is, quote, an amazing organization, unquote. LifeNews.com notes that Planned Parenthood is responsible for at least 6,803,782 abortion deaths of children since Roe v. Wade in 1973. A powerful nighttime 6.7 magnitude earthquake in the southern Philippines killed at least six people, mostly after being struck by falling debris and concrete walls, and injured more than 120, reports Fox News. The Lego Batman movie by Warner Brothers won the Valentine's Day weekend box office race with $55.6 million from 4,088 theaters over the sexually perverted sequel, 50 Shades Darker, at $46.8 million from 3,700 theaters. Sometimes nice guys do finish first. As this President's Day approaches on February 20th, ChristianHeadlines.com documents the Christian faith of eight of them. John Adams, in a letter to Thomas Jefferson, wrote, quote, "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will avow that I then believed, and now believe, that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God," unquote. And in a surprisingly candid quote, biographer William Johnstone quotes Abraham Lincoln, who wrote, quote, "When I left Springfield, Illinois, I asked the people to pray for me. I was not a Christian. When I buried my son, the severest trial of my life, I was not a Christian. But when I went to Gettysburg and saw the graves of thousands of our soldiers, I then and there consecrated myself to Christ. Yes, I do love Jesus," unquote. Proverbs 29:2 says, "When the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan." And that's the world view on this Monday, February 13th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church out here on the Eastern Plains of Colorado. And we take a look at a biblical worldview as we see the trends developing in the Western world to oppose values that we consider to be important, like faith, family, freedom. These things are breaking down, my friends, in our generation. Now with Donald Trump as the new president of the United States, people are guardedly optimistic, and they're hoping that something positive may happen, something substantial may happen to set this nation in a good direction, especially when it comes to religious persecution. So we're going to take a hard look at that issue on this edition of the program with Bill Jack from Worldview Academy. Now, here's some sad news, is that the president of the United States has backed the Obama policy on no discrimination against homosexuality amongst the federal contract workers. And Vice President Mike Pence was on ABC's This Week, and he touted the president's as the very first Republican nominee to mention the LGBTQ community at the Republican National Convention. He said he applauded that. He was in favor of it. The president of the United States embraced homosexuality and has supported homosexuality with this executive order 13672. And Mike Pence is thrilled. Mike Pence is excited. Now, Mike Pence has not batted a thousand when it comes to religious liberties. You remember what he did in Indiana. You remember what happened in Kentucky, a year or two ago with RFRA. RFRA did not survive in Indiana. Why? Because Mike Pence buckled. And so, friends, when push comes to shove, when the heat turns up in the kitchen, you got to ask yourself, you know, we've seen the weak Republicans again and again and again do what Republicans do best, and that is to waffle. And so there's rather limited optimism when it comes to what Republicans might do in Washington. Pence said, "I was there applauding the President of the United States as he acknowledged the LGBTQ community at the Republican National Convention." Now, again, my friends, if homosexuality is a sin, if for example, Trump acknowledged those who align themselves with robbing banks, or those who acknowledge themselves and align themselves with a group that supported bestiality, or human sacrifice, or child molestation. If he had acknowledged that, here's my question. Would Pence have applauded him for it? I tend to think no, but I'm not sure. After all, Mike Pence is a Republican.
And he caved on that issue when he was governor.
Yeah, he did.
No question.
He did.
And he's caved on this issue repeatedly by just walking back this idea. He said, you know, that that the president has said during the campaign, his campaign, that discrimination had no place in our administration. And that's what he's applauding. But we discriminate against a lot of things. As you said, we discriminate against bestiality. We discriminate against child abuse. We discriminate against, you know, I discriminate against, you know, chocolate versus vanilla. I discriminate on a lot of things. Discrimination is not necessarily bad. if it's based on truth, if it's based on God's word. And God's word discriminates against sin. What's happened is the culture has been has trained Christians, even like even Pence, who's an outspoken Christian, has trained Christians to adopt the language and the definitions of the culture. We have redefined homosexuality as an alternative lifestyle rather than a sin. And once you do that, then you can't discriminate.
Now, President Trump and Pence did not like some of President Obama's agenda. But probably the worst thing that President Obama did in 8 years was his executive order number 13602, which President Trump said thumbs up all the way. And so does Vice President Pence. So, friends, are they really that much different? Are they really that much different? The sin of homosexuality evidently irrelevant to Mike Pence, but not so to God. The protection of Christian-owned businesses, irrelevant to Mike Pence, but not so to God. If God had anything to say about Sodom and Gomorrah, if God had anything to say about the Canaanites and the sorts of sins that they practiced, according to Leviticus chapter 18 towards the end and Leviticus chapter 20 towards the end, these were the sins that were performed by the Canaanites at the time. And God says in Leviticus 18, Leviticus 20, I am going to destroy these nations for these sins. Now you say that's the Old Testament. Now God doesn't care what nations do. Is that true? Is this sin irrelevant to God? It wasn't in the Old Testament. It seems in the New Testament, God is calling all men everywhere to repent because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world. He winked at whatever happened in the Old Testament era, in Corinth, or down there in Greece, in Athens. According to Paul, as he's talking to the Athenians, he says, well, God has winked at these things for a number of years amongst some of the pagan nations. He didn't with Sodom and Gomorrah, and he didn't with Canaan. However, he has winked at some of the stuff that men have done, some of this idolatrous things and these sexual sins that have been performed by nations over the centuries. But now he's calling all men everywhere to repent. And that apparently is of little concern or no concern to the Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence. Be back in just a moment with more on the Generations Broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we're back on the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack also with me in studio today as we take a look at Obama's executive order 13672, which is the executive order still maintained by President Trump. President Trump is adjusting a few things related to immigration and a few other minor issues. However, when it comes to the sin of homosexuality, he's A, on board with Obama's Executive Order 13672, which forces private businesses who do business with the federal government to embrace the sin of homosexuality. Now, Bill, this goes beyond forcing the government, that is the government offices, that report to the Trump administration to hire homosexuals and embrace homosexuality. This goes beyond that. Are you with me? Now, yes, government has, over the last 8 or 10 years, come to the point where it is committing itself to hire homosexuals and embrace homosexuality. But now, Executive Order 13672, which was a radical shift, occurred just 2 years ago by a radically left-leaning presidential administration. This executive order, embraced now, of course, by the Republicans, by Pence and by Trump, is an executive order that forces private enterprise that does business with the United States federal government to endorse homosexuality. Now, you know the next step. Bill, the next step is to force private Christian-owned businesses who don't do business with the federal government to make wedding cakes for homosexuals. That's the next step. That's coming next.
Wait,
the next executive order.
Wait, no, wait. Kevin, you're behind the times.
Huh?
That's already being done, my friend.
Well, maybe it hasn't happened from Donald Trump, but Donald Trump is on board with the trend that is set by President Obama with Executive Order 13672 as of 2 years ago, and that is to force private enterprise, that is private Christian-owned businesses, to endorse the sin of homosexuality. And the next step is for the federal government, not just the state governments, not just state organizations, to force private enterprise to do business with homosexuals and to make those wedding cakes for homosexuals. No real surprise here, Bill. When push comes to shove, the real substantial issues at stake, where do the Republicans go? They go to the devil. They cannot fight against the devil and his agenda. They don't have what it takes, apparently, to stand against the principalities and powers that dominate the zeitgeist right now. Apparently, they just don't have the guts to do it. They just won't set their heads and their minds and their hearts against these trends, these demonic trends that are destroying this nation and enforcing a pro-homosexual position upon private enterprise. This is actually a step towards fascism. I think people don't understand that this idea of forcing private business to do what government wants private business to do is a form of fascism. Now, of course, what happens first is the federal government achieves some 25% to 30% control of the gross national income, and then now it has control over the largest corporations around America.
Wait, excuse me. That's already happened with the health care bill.
Oh, yes, I know.
Kevin, you're just behind the times about 4 or 5 years or 8 years.
Well, the conservative Republicans, my friends, they'll throw a few bones to the conservatives. They might take a conservative position on immigration for 15 minutes or transfer Planned Parenthood's $500 million to community health centers to do exactly the same thing Planned Parenthood was doing. This kind of thing happens all the time. Come on, let's not be so enthusiastic. Cool your enthusiasm a little bit. Come on, after George W. Bush increased the funding for Planned Parenthood, after George W. Bush increased the size of the National Department of Education by 300%, after all that you've seen with the Republicans for the last 30 to 40 years, don't expect very much from them. They won't do anything substantial. They've already lost the culture war. By the way, a Christianity Today article just came out on Trump's religious freedom order, which, by the way, has not been signed. So he's done what he can to promote homosexuality. He's thrown as much meat as he can that was preserved by the Obama administration to the homosexual crowd. But what will he give to the Christians? Will he sign the religious freedom order? And, you know, still, it's written, it's sitting there on his desk, he's looking at it, he's wondering if he should sign it. I doubt that he will sign anything. I doubt that he'll give Christians a single thing. But he might. But if he does, the Christianity Today article says, don't count on this thing producing anything. It's not going to help the baker, the florist, the photographer, or the candlestick maker. It's not going to help
the Christian businessman. So the Religious Freedom Order sitting on his desk right now is not going to do a cotton-picking thing for Christian businesses. Why? Because he's already shafted the Christian businesses by maintaining the executive order we just talked about. Well, the Christianity Today article refers again to this religious freedom thing. Over the weekend, Vice President Mike Pence actually dodged a question about the administration's plans for an executive order on religious liberty. I wonder why. I wonder why he would dodge the question while he is embracing homosexuality and doing, celebrating homosexual weddings, there on the ABC weekly program. According to experts, Trump's executive order would strengthen religious exemptions under federal laws and programs, but it wouldn't have the reach to quell debates over Christian-owned businesses refusing to serve same-sex weddings. White House executive order would be limited to federal actions. And according to Robin Fretwell Wilson, a University of Illinois professor who researches law and religion, she says, if this is about bakers and bathrooms in the public accommodation sphere that we've seen rattling around the states, it just doesn't do anything. It can't do anything. So come on, cool your enthusiasm, you. Yeah, conservative Christians are just so in love with the Republican agenda. Ain't going to do much. Now, what would make for a good move? I think the best move of all would be the reversal of Obergefell. You've got to reverse Roe v. Wade. You've got to reverse Obergefell. Persecution cannot be stopped against Christians, Christian businesses, Christian churches and ministries without the reversal of Obergefell. Bill, I think that's just obvious. I think it's the most obvious thing we could say on the program. I just sat here looking at it saying, if I was president of the United States and I was stuck with Obergefell, what could I do? You've got to reverse Obergefell. You've got to reverse Lawrence v. Texas. You've got to reverse these things. If Gorsuch, the nominee for the next Supreme Court justice, is unwilling to reverse Obergefell, if Kennedy's not willing to go the other direction on Obergefell, I mean, even if Gorsuch was a good guy, we're still 4-5. We're losing. We're still losing and losing because Kennedy went the wrong direction on Obergefell. So without reversing Obergefell, my friends, persecution in America against Christians, against Christian ministries, against Christian pastors, against Christian churches cannot be stopped. Why? Because the Supreme Court of the United States has already said that homosexuality and homosexual marriage is a civil right. It's as much a civil right as it is a civil right for an African American to be accommodated by the public accommodation laws in this country. Unless we reverse Obergefell, all bets are off. We are going to lose, and we're going to lose, and we're going to lose. And when the President of the United States said, I'm not about reversing Obergefell, it is now the law of the land, he certified that Christians absolutely will be persecuted in the United States of America. So, Bill, I think the only approach is to yank the big weed out. And I'm not sure I know anybody in national politics that's willing to do that except maybe Judge Roy Moore of Alabama. And technically, he's not in federal politics.
No, he's not.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. You got any other solutions?
No, this whole RFRA craze is crazy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the left understands how to get around that. When they say, sure, we'll give you a RFRA, but then when you get the RFRA in place and a baker says, hey, I'm going to apply the RFRA to my business, they say, oh, you're just using that to mask your bigotry, your prejudice. And that's the way they got it.
Well, as we look at the history of freedom over the last 800 years, I think you're going to see the best strategy is going to be interposition. It's going to be the lower magistrates that will protect freedoms. It will not be. Do not look to the power state, the centralized state, to protect freedoms, to defend freedoms, or to make a significant step to maintaining freedom in the Western world. Come on, my friends, you gotta cool your enthusiasm. Come on, cool your enthusiasm about the federal government and the Republican involvement in the federal government. Come on, read your history. Read what happened at the Magna Carta. Read what happens with the establishment of our Bill of Rights, the Scottish War for Independence, and the Dutch War for Independence. Read your history book if any of you appreciate freedoms and want to see freedom restored in America sometime in the next 50 to 100 years. Be sure to get a copy of Freedom, the book I wrote on the history of Western freedoms, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. Now, as we consider the milieu that we find ourselves in, Bill, I think we need to talk a little bit more about the cultural war and the state of the church. Just read that the Norwegian Lutheran Church has voted to permit their pastors to conduct homosexual faux weddings. And by the way, the same thing has happened with the Evangelical Church in Germany, the German Lutherans, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Finland, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Geneva, the Evangelical Lutherans in the United States, the Church of Iceland, the Church of Denmark, the Church of Sweden, the Protestant Church in the Netherlands. They're all in apostasy. They've all embraced the Neuronic agenda and the homosexual wedding thing or faux wedding thing. But if you look at the United States, you say, okay, what's happened to the churches here in the United States? The worst churches in the United States can be rated by how soon they jumped into Jezebel's bed. I just like to use the date at which they embraced the agenda of sodomy and the Neuronic agenda. I say the Neuronic agenda because Nero was some of the first, or probably the first, at least important person in the Western world that engaged in homosexual weddings. Nero, one of the worst tyrants, one of the most wicked men, probably the most wicked man that lived over the last 2,000 years. And the point at which the Christian church, who, by the way, was persecuted by Nero, it was Nero versus, it was the dragon against the Christian church for some 300-400 years. It was Nero that instigated the first persecutions against the Christian church, lit them up in his garden, and blame them for his burning down Rome. So Nero is, of course, the hero of these churches that have embraced homosexual weddings, because Nero was the first to himself marry one or two young men. But the worst churches in America can be rated this way. The first church in America to jump into Jezebel's bed and embrace the Neuronic agenda was the Episcopalian Church. Did you know that, Bill?
Yes,
the Episcopalian Church. Yes. The second was the United Church of Christ. I would have put United Church first, but it turns out the Episcopalians went for it first.
No, in fact, I'm going to be doing the New Hampshire Teen Pack class, and, okay. And the church just down the block from the state capitol is the church that had the first ordained openly homosexual.
That's right, it was up there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yep. Episcopalian he's now since divorced his
whatever it was.
Whatever it was.
The first church in America to embrace Nero was the Episcopalian Church. Second was the United Church of Christ. Third was the ELCA. So the Lutherans did it third. Then the fourth was Presbyterian Church USA. That was, 2 years ago. And now fifth will be the Methodists. They're right now split right down the middle on the issue. So much of the established church in America has improved of homosexuality. And the reason I turn to the church is because of this. Because of Gorsuch. Gorsuch is the next nominee for the Supreme Court justice opening provided by Scalia. So Gorsuch attends the Episcopalian Church in Boulder.
Okay.
And the Washington Post has given us something on this. Now, it's important to know this, that he's attending the worst Protestant church in America. I think that's important. Why? Well, we'll talk about that in just a moment. But here's the Washington Post article. Here's how it started. The day after Donald Trump was elected president, the Reverend Susan Springer wrote to her congregation that they should strive to behave as godly people who spread hope, even though, quote, the world is clasping its head in its hands and crying out in fear. Okay, that's Neil Gorsuch's pastorette.
Yeah.
At the Boulder Episcopalian Church.
Wow.
That Sunday, one of the ushers at Springer's church was
Neil Gorsuch.
You got it. Neil Gorsuch. Soon to become President Trump's nominee for this open spot on the Supreme Court. The Episcopal Church has embraced more liberal positions on a variety of issues, including performing same-sex commitment ceremonies, since the 1980s, and eventually same-sex marriages. According to this article, it refers to a 2004 article in the journal Anglican and Episcopal History, where they examine the two Episcopal churches in Boulder. There's two of them in Boulder. I don't know if you knew that. And by the way, my friends, Boulder is just up the street from us, and Boulder is the most liberal city in the state of Colorado. And Colorado is one of the most liberal states, especially on the issue of homosexuality, in the United States of America. So keep that in mind We're talking about a liberal state and the most liberal city in the state of Colorado. And it turns out that this church is the most liberal church in Boulder, more or less. At least according to this. At the time, the writer described St. John's as the older, more traditional church building, but the more theologically and politically liberal of the two Episcopalian churches in Boulder. The churches diverged on the subject of homosexuality. The article said the other church, St. Aidan's, underlined the word traditional on its website, while St. John's added the words AIDS aware to indicate its welcome to LGBT people. St. John's, the article noted, was also the parish of six-year-old John May Ramsey, the beauty pageant contestant whose 1996 murder became a subject of national interest. And if you go to the website, and I did, St. John's is the downtown Episcopal Church in Boulder, Colorado. We are inclusive. Now, what does that mean? You see, we are inclusive. And you know exactly what that means. That's rainbow. That's the rainbow. Well, why do I bring this up? Because of this. Will the Supreme Court nominee rise above the church? Will the Supreme Court nominee rise above the state of the church? Will the Supreme Court of the United States rise above the state of the church in America? And the answer to that is a definitive no.
You know, will he rise above the teaching under which he sat?
Best case, the church is irrelevant. But that just means the foundations are destroyed.
Right.
And what do the righteous do? Here's what the righteous do. Let me end with this. The righteous, well, they reform the church. The church needs to repent. Judgment begins at the household of God. We are to preach the word of God. And yes, make it uncomfortable. Don't worry about offending people. Bring sackcloth and ashes back into the church to the point at which we begin to understand what it means when it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Our society is in trouble. The sin of this nation has overwhelmed us, even as Judah was overwhelmed, according to the prophecies in Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Just read Jeremiah and Ezekiel every single Sunday and point at us. Read Jeremiah and Ezekiel every Sunday for about 5 years and point at ourselves and point to our sins, point to our homosexuality, point to our pornography, point to the rebellion amongst, well, quote-unquote, independent women, point to our sins, point to abortion, point to the lack of the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge that is not taught in the public schools in America. Point to the sins of our nation. Point to what we are doing, what the masses are doing. Reform the church. Preach the word of God. Call to repentance. Call to true faith in Jesus Christ who saves us from sin, the breaking of the laws of God. Bring this back to the point where somebody finally realizes the gospel is relevant because we are sinners and we need to repent. We need to be cleansed of our sins. Secondly, take advantage of your freedoms. Get your kids out of the public indoctrination centers and give them a distinctively Christian education. Do family worship every day. Friends, this is what needs to happen, and it needs to happen now. And it needs to happen amongst hundreds of thousands of families across America. Though we're at a time at which, even amongst homeschoolers, I'm not finding people who want a distinctively Christian worldview in their history class, a distinctively Christian worldview in their literature class, a distinctively Christian worldview in their science class. I'm seeing a lot of waffling. I'm seeing that Christians are backing away from a Christ-centered form of education. We have got to fight the good fight when it comes to Christian education in our homeschools and our Christian schools today. We've already lost it in the public schools. We have got to fight this thing for everything we've got and salvage a few families, salvage some kids for the next generation. My friends, that is the strategy. Right now, it's to repent, it's to reform, and it's to bring back a Christian education for our kids. And that constitutes this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio. We invite you back again next time as we continue the lay down a vision for the next generation.